wait for the courtroom to clear out here a minute so we can hear everything. Okay, I have Leif Kellis. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
Let me talk into the... Can you hear me better now?
Okay,
I guess I wasn't talking into the speakerphone then. Okay, this is the last case for our argument. It's been scheduled for Dave's Armando Gonzalez versus Alberto Gonzalez. And you are speaking by speakerphone, so we may proceed.
This case is about notice and the evidence in the record that Mr. Gonzalez was not acting pro se for the immigration agency. The board's decision denying his motion to reopen ignored crucial evidence in the record that Mr. Gonzalez was not acting pro se with his asylum application before the immigration agency, and also, more crucially,
This is Judge Wood, and I wanted to ask you a question about forgery, actually, because I looked at these various motions and materials in the appendix, and I wondered if Mr. Gonzalez was really trying to argue that the signature, particularly on that motion to change venue to the Indiana address and thus the Chicago office, was a forgery. I mean, I looked very carefully at that signature, and if it is a forgery, it's a pretty good one, and I'm certainly not qualified to say, but I want to know whether that argument was explored in any way.
My office had asked Mr. Gonzalez to explain in detail the entire story of how he met Joel Freddy and exactly what papers he signed, and if he knew what he was signing. Mr. Gonzalez did sign documents. I don't know exactly what he signed, and he does not know either. Oftentimes, what happens with these notarios, as we call them in Los Angeles, these legal representatives, legal consultants, is they have persons sign blank papers. And oftentimes, the aliens are not sufficient in English to understand what they're signing, and they believe that they're signing an employment card application or such. Whether Mr. Gonzalez signed these papers in blank, I do not know.
But let me just follow up with that, because the board looks at all of this stuff and says, well, here we have this signed piece of paper from him asking to transfer to this Indiana address, which of course does seem to be a completely fictitious, I mean, it's not a fictitious place, but he certainly never had anything to do with it. But the board needs to be told what these various problems are before it realizes that it should not rely on a form like that.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, the board's decision of February 11th to deny the motion to reopen only addresses the motion to change venue of March 22nd, 2002. And remember, in this case, there were two motions to change venue. The first motion to change venue was from Los Angeles to this address in Indiana. And by the way, any notice that went to the Indiana address was attempted and unknown, delivered back to the court. It was never delivered to the address in Indiana. The envelopes in the record show that they were returned to the court in Chicago. The second motion to change venue was filed on March 22, 2002, with the judge in Chicago, stating that Mr. Gonzalez had returned to Pasadena, which would be in the jurisdiction of Los Angeles. And if you look at the address on the second motion to change venue, it is the Ritz Carlton address. The asylum application shows that Mr. Gonzalez was working for the Ritz Carlton Hotel, located in Pasadena at that address. The second motion to change venue that was filed was Judge Brown in Chicago, it seems that now Mr. Gonzalez is living at the Ritz-Carlton, which is ludicrous. What my theory is that Joel Flynn, who never returned who never answered our letters or our phone calls, my theory is he got scared. Now, Mr. Gonzalez actually resides in Oceanside, California, which is the jurisdiction of the San Diego Immigration Court. Joe Freddy told Mr. Gonzalez that he works with an attorney named Jose Quinones. Jose Quinones is an attorney in Los Angeles. Mr. Freddy wanted to keep this case in Los Angeles. When he knew that Mr. Gonzalez was living in Oceanside, he knew that this case would go before the Immigration Court in San Diego. And since he couldn't have that, somehow this case got mixed up, and he filed this motion to change venue to Indiana. I don't know why. Who knows? Maybe they mixed him up with another Armando Gonzalez that they were representing. Then when they realized the case was before the Cojones in Chicago, and their mistake, they filed a second motion to change venue, and they gave Mr. Gonzalez this work address, which is the Ritz-Carlton address. Whatever avenue, Raymond Avenue in Pasadena. Because Mr. Gonzalez, when he confronted Joel Freddy in December of 2002, or rather June of 2002, and said, what's going on with my case? Joel Freddy asked him, do you have an address in Los Angeles for us? It was very important for them to have this case in Los Angeles so they could work with this notorious attorney called Jose Quinones.
Has anybody ever pursued any proceedings against this Jose Quinones?
No, because there was never a notice of appearance signed by Mr. Quinones stating that he was going to represent Mr. Gonzalez. We didn't have any proof that Jose Quinones actually represented him. There were no contracts with Quinones and no notice of appearance by Mr. Quinones before the court in Los Angeles or Chicago. The only thing that Mr. Gonzalez has is the payment contract and receipt from Joel Freddy, the immigration consultant. Therefore, when the board states that the respondent claimed that Mr. Gonzalez claimed he received ineffective assistance from an individual who provided legal services, yet he changed his venue to get the access from today, the board is ignoring the crucial evidence. For example, this court in Joshi and in Chowdhury, two cases that were cited in the brief, specifically states that a decision that resolves a critical factual question without the mention of the principal evidence cannot be considered adequately reasoned. Mr. Gonzalez never had an opportunity to be heard, and it was no fault of his. In fact, he had a neighbor in Oceanside, California, this Mr. Conrad Joyner. He even went to him and explained to him his problems with Joel Freddy. And it was Conrad Joyner that filed a Freedom of Information Act request in April of 2002. And it was only because of the FOIA request that they realized that Mr. Gonzalez, with the help of Mr. Joyner, realized that his case was in Chicago and that he'd been ordered removed in absentia. Now, if Mr. Gonzalez had filed these motions to change venues himself, why would he ask an attorney, which was his neighbor, to help him figure out what was going on with the immigration case? And then, moreover, why would he go and hire an attorney later on and spend the money to try to reopen his case and try to correct the mistake and help him with this fraud? It just doesn't make sense. And opposing counsel's brief suggests that Mr. Gonzalez should have done a Lozada motion. Now, now that Lozada is board case, as the court very well may know, I don't want to go into the facts of the matter of Lozada, but basically, the opposing counsel in their brief suggests that Mr. Gonzalez didn't file a complaint with the board and didn't complete the requirements of Lozada. But this case is unique, because Mr. Gonzalez, unfortunately, to his detriment, did not hire an attorney. If he had hired an attorney, there would be a process by which he could complain to the California State Bar.
Just for your information, the yellow light's on.
Oh, thank you.
An orange light, I guess. So keep an eye on your watch.
now Mr. Gonzalez faces banishment, yet he does have U.S. citizen children. And it's not that he's seeking a second bite of the apple, as the opposing counsel literally states in their brief. He never had a bite of the apple in the first place. All he seeks is an opportunity to be heard, and that does not guarantee that his case will actually be approved, even if it is reopened. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Echo?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This case involves basically two issues. One, in connection with maybe one issue with two parts. Whether the Board abused its discretion denying petitioner's appeal from the immigration judge's denial of the motion to reopen and rescind the in absentia removal order. And that's where the Board found the petitioner received adequate notice of the removal hearing and petitioner failed to establish exceptional circumstances.
Yeah, I have to say, I wonder why the Board itself isn't concerned about the possibility of fraud in the proceedings before the Board, because the Board's order doesn't really engage the arguments that Mr. Gonzalez is trying to make. They don't make a finding either that, yes, it is your signature and you filed it and you're responsible, or no, you know, maybe you were just defrauded. There's no exploration of any of this, and I would think the Board would have some institutional concern about fraud in the proceedings before it.
Well, I don't think that the Board was not concerned. I think that they didn't credit petitioner's
story.
How
do we know?
Because
we have no clue.
The Board found that the petitioner acted pro se.
Well,
and
but that's
acknowledged
just a statement.
That they made this ineffective assistance of counsel claim, but rejected it, finding that he acted pro se.
Well, I'm looking at the Board's order. It's actually, of course, one of these single member of the Board. And it looks to me like the argument is he can't have received ineffective assistance from an individual who provided legal services because he was acting on his own behalf pro se. But what I don't see is any probing of the underlying facts as to whether this really was a paper that he filed, whether there was any fraud in the underlying circumstances, either to accept or to reject a claim like that. It's just, you know, you get this one little sentence here, and I can't tell, you know, what they're thinking.
Well, I think as you go through the Board's decision, it found that the change of venue motions and the original asylum application were filed pro se.
Well, sell me here. I mean, I'm looking at the Board's opinion, that this little, you know, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs, and some of the paragraphs are only a couple of lines long. And they say, both in the penultimate paragraph and in the last paragraph, that the respondent filed this motion pro se. But what I'm telling you is that they never look below the surface. They never engage in the argument that there was some irregularity about this.
Well, I would point out that in his affidavit that he filed with his motion to reopen, he never specifically said that he did not sign these documents. Therefore,
well, but I guess the argument counsel is making is not so much that he didn't sign it, but that he signed in blank at some point.
But he didn't say that to the board.
He didn't say any of that.
He didn't explain that to the board. He didn't say, I didn't understand what I was signing.
Okay.
I didn't read it. I don't speak English. He didn't say any of that in his affidavit to the board.
Okay.
Therefore, and he didn't say specifically that he didn't sign these documents. He also acknowledged that he knew that this individual who he claims he hired to prosecute his application was not an attorney. He also says, by the way, that Joel Freddy told him that he was going to hire an attorney, acquaintance of his, to appear in court for him. And he actually later, in one of his pleadings, I think maybe the letter that he wrote to Joel Freddy, he says the name of the individual that Joel Freddy says was going to represent him. Now, Mr. Gonzalez's attorney says now that, well, we didn't have any proof that that individual was actually hired, but he had a name. He could have reported it to the bar, asked them to investigate. Maybe the guy was never hired, but maybe he was.
But how would Mr. Quinones, if that's the person, you know, some person he's never heard of, who's never engaged him, there's not an agreement. I mean, he hasn't done anything wrong.
Well, we don't know. Maybe he did.
Yeah, but if he didn't, then Mr. Gonzalez is where he says he is, which is the victim of this notario, or whatever he wants to call himself. And I guess the board's opinion about that is just tough luck, you know?
No, I think
so. We're going to ship you out of the United States because some person defrauded you.
Well, I think the board wasn't convinced that he was defrauded. I think the board found that he filed these motions himself, pro se. And that's based on his signatures in the documents. There's no evidence that anyone else filed these documents for him. His signatures, if you compare the ones on the motions,
I've compared all of them.
They all look, you know, very similar. He didn't come. It's his burden to come forward with proof, and he didn't prove that those weren't his signatures. He didn't put forward, you know, handwriting analysis, or specifically even say in his affidavit, I didn't sign these, or explain why, again, he didn't sign these or understand these documents that were filed.
Are the documents with the original signatures anywhere in the record? Because the other thing that occurred to me is that in today's world, it's awfully easy to affix a signature to a document without having that happen. I mean, I don't know whether you have your signature on a PDF file that you insert in letters, but it happens a lot.
Well, the originals would be with the board's original record, the change of venue motions. It would be in the board's original.
So would it matter if there was an original signature on it or not? Would the board accept it with a facsimile of a signature?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think it has to be an original signature, but, I frankly don't know.
Okay.
I would point out to the court that based on the board's finding that he actually filed these motions pro se, both the immigration court and the DHS, formerly INS, when they served the notices of the hearing on him, they complied with the regulations in every instance. They took the address that was indicated as his mailing address on the asylum application and sent the notice to appear to that address. And that's the address he provided. They also sent the original schedule for the hearing in Los Angeles to him at that address. Then he submitted his first change of venue motion saying that he was now living in Indiana. And so then the court acknowledged that, the Los Angeles court, and granted his motion to change venue, transferring the case to Chicago. In his second change of venue motion, he acknowledged that he was aware of the hearing date in Chicago. And he also, again, conceded in the notice to appear the charges that were there. So acknowledging the fact that he received the notice to appear. They properly sent, in each instance, the notice of the scheduled hearings to the addresses that he provided. Because the board found that there was no violation of its regulations with respect to providing adequate notice, and in fact, he says in his change of venue motions that he actually acknowledged the dates of the hearing. He had actual notice of those dates. Finally, because the board found that he filed these motions pro se and he did not put forward sufficient evidence to indicate otherwise, as supported by the record, the board acted reasonably in denying the motion to reopen.
You know, it's interesting that he files the Freedom of Information Act request prior to the April 4 failure to appear in Chicago, and he goes with his neighbor to the immigration office in Los Angeles also prior to the failure to appear in Chicago.
Well, I would also point out he did put forth an affidavit by this neighbor who allegedly talked to Joel Freddy about
Well, I'm just saying, if he's there in the L.A. Immigration Office in March 2002, March 18th, saying, what's happening to my case? And then 2 weeks later, he supposedly fails to appear in Chicago. There's some indication something is awry.
Perhaps, but it wasn't adequately set forth in his affidavit to the board, and the board reasonably relied on the documents that were before it. So therefore, I would submit that the board did not abuse its discretion in this case. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Okay, you can proceed with your rebuttal.
Thank you. There are exceptional circumstances in this case, and the court has recognized that when there are exceptional circumstances, a case can be reopened. The notice in this case, the notice to appear, was sent to Joel Freddy's business address. And secondly, if you look at the language in the motions to change venue, both of them, they allege that they're being filed through counsel. Why, if Mr. Gonzalez was representing himself pro se, why would the motion to change venue say that he was acting through counsel? And the legal language that's in these motions, the board ignored the circumstances and the evidence in this case. The board could not possibly conclude that Mr. Gonzalez, who's a Mexican alien, could write such language. It just doesn't make sense. And also, Joseph Thompson does admit that Mr. Conrad Joyner did accompany Mr. Gonzalez to the INS because Mr. Gonzalez was so concerned about his case, his neighbor went with him to question Mr. Freddy, and Mr. Freddy conveniently disappeared, agreed to meet with them after Mr. Gonzalez got his appointment card, agreed to meet with them in another room. But when they went to the other room, didn't meet with them. So he was avoiding them. And also, the motion to change venue that was filed in Chicago, stating that Mr. Gonzalez was back in the LA area, specifically at the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena, was returned to the immigration court. The notices from the Chicago court were never received. If it's Indiana address, whoever lived there, I don't know.
Ms. Kellis, your time's up. Is that it? Okay. Well, thanks very much. The case will be taken under advisement.
Thank you.
That completes the argument for the morning, for those of you who are left to understand that. So the case will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning. Or I guess sooner than that, right?
I'm trying to
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I tried to
put anything to do about that.
but I guess they could leave one aside the sentence. Kind of leaning out against the sentence. Because there's no more space in this planet.